So continuing on with our halacha maisa, chaburos, siman tav reish lamed tes, hilchos yeshiva sukkah. So last time I realized I was in a rush, as I'm probably going to be at the end of today's year, and I didn't get a chance to. I don't think I said anything wrong. I just want to make sure that I clarify one of the details which I was hoping to get to at the end of last time, but I sort of just didn't have a chance to flesh out at the end. So let me just clarify a little bit about the end of Sif Beis. We'll move on to Sif Gimel. Hopefully, get through all of Sif Gimel today. So at the end of Sif Beis, we mentioned a discussion off of the Rambam who goes into that length. Different reasons why somebody might be putter from the sukkah, in terms of sleeping in the sukkah nowadays. We see that all the time, the minhag, at least in the chutzlars, is definitely many people don't sleep in the sukkah. And the Rambam works hard, really valiantly tries to defend that minhag. And there's lots of different reasons given. Maybe because it was too cold, and therefore they went stire, which then raises the issue of how you're able to have a sukkah, which is fundamentally made to be mitzvah, or if you're not able to sleep in it, right? That was a side issue, but let's just mention some of the main reasons. Some people thought maybe because it's dangerous, but the Rambam himself's conclusion was because one's wife isn't able to be with him in the sukkah then because it's not snias. There's not enough room for everybody, you know, to sleep with their wives in the sukkah. It's just not appropriate, and accordingly, that posters you from having to sleep in the sukkah. So now, we raised two questions. I want to make sure we have a clear maskan on both of those two questions from last time. Number one, if you don't have your wife with you in the sukkah, is that a reason to be putter? If you're not able to be with your wife in the sukkah, is that a reason to be putter? Right? Does that not count as being able to do teishu kain tadur, and therefore you're putter in the sukkah? Secondly, is there an ideal to have your wife in a sukkah? So we said the Rambam was working off of the Gemara. The Darkei Moshe is explicit, and that he's working off that. And everybody understands him as talking about. He's working off of Gemara and Erechin, which we said the Shita Mekubetzes there doesn't even have that Girsa. But according to the Rambam's Girsa, and then understanding that Gemara and Erechin, and Daf Gimel on the base, where the Gemara has a Havmina, that Kohanim, that says Kohanim or Chayiv. The Gemara's like, why wouldn't they be Chayiv? And the Havmina, according to the way the Rambam understands it, according to that Girsa, is that if you're not able to be with your wife, then you're totally Pater from Sukkah. And the conclusion is that no, you're only putter from the sukkah on night that you would be going to work the next day, so to speak, right? Since, like, I'm not able to be with my wife the next day when I'm working in the base of Migdash, since then he wouldn't be able to serve in the base of Migdash because of the Balkari. So therefore, he's putter fundamentally on that night because he can't do Teshuvah Kain Tadur. He's putter from the sukkah because he can't be with his wife. The Gra, off of Rashi and Tosfos, he claims, does not read the conclusion of the Gemara that way. And he says, no, there's no, in the Gemara's conclusion, there's no ptor if you can't be with your wife. That was the Hafmin of the Gemara there. The Gemara's conclusion is that, no, it's not ma'akid if you can't be with your wife. And merely, only literally, b'shas avoda, when you're actually in the midst of the actual avoda of Mesa Midrash, that's when you're putra from the sukkah, because like, shkoyach, what am I supposed to do? I'm in the middle of doing another mitzvah. I'm in the middle of doing the avoda in the Mesa Midrash. But otherwise, that night, even though you're not allowed to sleep with your wife that night, doesn't matter, there's no ptor from the sukkah. Okay, so that was the way they each read the conclusion. Just as highlight now, according to these two opinions, let's look at our questions. Right, those two questions again. Of, are you putter from the sukkah if you're not able to sleep with your wife? According to the Gemara's conclusion there, the Rama says, yes, you're putter from the sukkah. And thus, he has over here, the Rama gives us a big kula. It's nowadays we don't have a proper room for our sukkah. You know, people can't all fit there. That everybody will do it in a sneistic fashion. So you're putter from sleeping in the sukkah nowadays because you can't be with your wife. That's the Rama's read of the conclusion of the Erechin. But the Gra says no, there's no such conclusion, and therefore there's no ptor, and nobody has any heter along these lines to not sleep in the sukkah. Now there might be other heterim thrown out there with the Taz, because you're osif mitzvah, putter mitzvah, you're involved in making your wife happy. It's shvach, although that actually is used, halach lamaisa, if it's the night of the mikvah, for example, and there's some reason, or it's her ona, where they're supposed to be together, then osik b'metzah patar mitzvah, he actually doesn't have to sleep in the sukkah, and he sleeps indoors. But that's not really generally assumed to, like, oh, you have a mitzvah to make your wife so happy, like the Gemara doesn't mention that, and therefore, like, you can't be separate from her at all. So that's not necessarily a good enough heter, but so according to the Gra, we're really, unless you're actually mitzvah, you're going to be in trouble. Right, unless you're actually, it's too cold. Let's say, nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, it's pretty nice. It's pretty comfortable. You should be sleeping in the sukkah. So in terms of the question of, are you putter if you can't sleep with your wife? For a bachur who doesn't have a wife, it's not even relevant. Right? So of course you have to sleep in the sukkah. And assuming you're not mitzvah, of course you have to sleep in the sukkah. And even if you do have a wife and, like, you're not going to be able to sleep with her, then it still might not be enough to hang your head on. Look, I'm not attacking those that don't. I'm just saying for a Yar Shemayim, they should really try to sleep in the sukkah ideally if possible, if they can do it in a comfortable fashion. However, let's ignore that for a second, and let's turn to the second question, which we didn't really address last time. Is there an ideal to sleep with your wife in the sukkah? Meaning, not whether you're putter if you can't, but are you supposed to if you can? According to the Ramah, and according to the Gra, seemingly, there is a value to do so. Meaning to say, the Gemara's halachah is that, oh, that's a fulfillment of teshuva kinder. And the Gemara says, no, it's not ma'akev according to the Gra. According to the Ramah, it is ma'akev if you really can't. But both of them think you're supposed to sleep with your wife if you can. Meaning, again, sleeping, meaning sleeping with, sleeping alongside, right? So you're supposed to. If that's true, a big question comes up on a different minhag golem. This wasn't what the Ramah was addressing. The Ramah was saying, are you fundamentally putter, assuming you can't. But let's say you could sleep with your wife in the sukkah. You're a wealthy man. You've got a big backyard. You can have two sukkahs. There'll be the private one for you and your wife, and your kids will sleep in the other sukkah. Are you supposed to? Is that an ideal? It seems like, according to everyone, according to the Gra, and according to the Ramah, there is an ideal. If you have room to make it, so halacha l'maaseh, if you have the capacity to build a sukkah, it would seem that you're supposed to build a sukkah in a way where you could have your own separate space for your own. The Ramah is like, look, nowadays, I don't know what they lived in. But we don't have a space, we don't have sukkahs big enough, we can't properly do that. But he's admitting, of course, if you can, then you should. So why don't people? Sir Ben Arsar, to defend the Minhag Olam, was off the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham understands our Gemara and sukkah when it excludes women. So what do you understand that exclusion of women as saying? Is it that women are just putter from the sukkah? Mitzah themselves, right? They themselves don't have to sleep in the sukkah because they're putter. But still, is there some aspect of teshuv kain to duru from the man's side? Like, not, I don't mean this at all in like a sexist fashion, but like in the same sense that you're supposed to bring in your kalim noim into the sukkah, like your other items. So also, part of daily living, no, that's what I'm saying, I don't mean that at all, I'm just giving an example, of in the same way you're supposed to live as you live in your house, so living with your house, not because she's chayav, but for your living in your house is with your wife. So comparably, your wife is also supposed to be in the sukkah, teshuva kinduduru. So that would seemingly be how I would have read the Gemara's maskana. The women themselves are putter, but maybe there is, off that Gemara and Abraham perhaps, there is a value to sleeping with your wife if you can, ideally. Why not? Teshuva kinduduru, it's to the maximum. But the Magen Avraham, the way Rabbi Arsh explained, says no. They're just not supposed to be in the sukkah. Not that they're not allowed to be. But there's zero value. The Gemara's conclusion in Erechin and the Gemara in our conclusion in sukkah is really saying that women don't sleep in the sukkah. They really, bechlal not. Really not. And therefore, there's no added value of teshuva kinduduru. So to defend them, and I'll go, olam, if you can, but you don't, are you doing something wrong? According to the Gemara, they're like, yeah. I mean, like, ideally, you should. But according to the Magen Avraham, in which would defend the minhag, that if people, you know, could build on their sukkah without really a big issue, you know, they really can manage it just fine, so then they wouldn't have to. Okay, that was conclusion of Sif Beit. I want to move into Sif Gimel now, but I'll take questions first. Joseph, you have something you wanted to ask? Clarified it? Okay, awesome. Everyone clear on the maskana? Halach l'maisa, a bachar in Eretz Yisrael, sleeping here in Yeshiva, unless he has some really extenuating circumstances where he will actually be mitzvah, should really sleep in the sukkah. There's very, very, it's hard to find a heter why you can't. For somebody who's married, it gets more complex. I said last time, Rabbi Benar says in Shana Rishona, you're supposed to. That's a big machlokas achrona, but he says that you should in Shana Rishona, even though maybe there is more of a value in making your wife happy by sleeping alongside her, at least at all time. But I don't want to talk about the minhag in America. There's definitely what to rely on. There is this Ramah. However, I would imagine that a Yari Shemayim will ignore the other factors, and he'll make sure that he makes his wife very, 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 very happy, and he can put her to sleep. And then go and sleep in the sukkah, and she'll be totally fine. And as long as he makes himself comfortable with nice pillows and blankets, he'll be fine. I've done it. I've done it with my father for many, many years in America as well. Yosef, yes.
Is there, like, let's say I look on the weather for in America, let's say I look on the weather forecast, it's supposed to, like, pour, like, 2 in the morning?
Yes. So if it's going to be a situation where you're going to start, I think that there's a Ron which says that basically even for eating you're allowed to. If you see that it's really going to rain, I think you can be mako. But it's got to be, you know, you gotta wait. Now, obviously, if it's going to be the type of thing where you can sleep for a bunch of hours, and it won't be so hard to bring it in. And when it rains, and it might not even rain, even if it's a pretty high percentage. Then I imagine that, again, a Yari Shemayim should. Why not? You can sleep in the sukkah for 4 or 5 hours. And okay, so you might have to wake up in the middle of the night. You know what? I woke up in the middle of the night twice this morning. Right? It happens all the time. That's what happens when you have a little kid, right? It's part of life. You manage. You survive. So you can bring it in. Now, obviously, you're going to have to slip everything in, and you're going to get soaked. But you have to know what it is, how close it is to your house. If it's a viable plan, I would imagine you really should. You really should. Okay, good. Let's move on to Sif Gimel, guys. Hopefully we'll get everything done as much as we can. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Achila b'sukkah b'leil yom tov arishon chova. So, on the first night of sukkah, there's a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. Afilu Achal Kazayas pass, then even if you only have a Kazayas pass, Yatzi Dei Chobasa. You fulfill this obligation. If you only have a Kazayas of bread, you fulfill the obligation. Become Eilik Rishos, then afterwards, though, with Rishos, Ratzel Lechol Seuda, Soy Besukkah. If you want to eat a meal, you eat it in the Sukkah, obviously, because you have to eat your Keva Dika meals in the Sukkah. Ratza Eino Ochel Kol Shiva Elapiros Viklayos. If all you want to do is just eat, you know, fruits and nuts or whatever, Chutz Luksukkah Ochel. And you do it outside the Sukkah, you're allowed to, that's totally fine. Kedin Achilas Matzah Pesach. In the same way on Pesach, where there's no chiyuv to eat the entire time. Matzah, it's only that if you want to eat bread, you have to eat matzah, you can't eat chametz. So comparably, on Sukkot, the rest of the days, after the first night, you don't have to have a suda every single time. Only on the first night, you have to have a kazayas pas. Okay, the Rama adds in. Now, about that chiyuv on that first night, v'lo yocha b'layla rishona ad shehei b'aday layla. So now you shouldn't eat that kazayas pas until it's for sure layla, coming off of the same halacha that we have by Pesach. V'yochal kodem katzotz layla. And also, you should eat it before the chatzos of Lila, right before midnight, which is the same again by Pesach. And again, all this is all from the Ma'aril, right? So again, the comparison to Pesach is very strong. On Erev Sukkot, you shouldn't fill yourself up too much from chatzos and onwards. So that way, you enter into the meal that you're the chiyuv. You'll eat it out of desire, out of hunger. Comparable to Achilas Matzah, and Nosi Kalin pointed out that this is going back on all those things that he just said. Those are all obviously sourced in Matzah. Okay, so now let's discuss this for a moment. Okay, you know what? One side point I'll just mention to begin with, and then we'll get into the real meat and potatoes here. The Gemara in Brachos, right? Tosos points out on our daf. Where are we holding? Chav Zayin Aleph, I think. I don't have it in front of me, but I think so. So the Gemara in Brachos implies that you can fast on Yontif, right? You have to really even have, not only can you not fast on Yontif, you have to have a bread meal on Yontif. And yet, our Gemara in Sukkah sounds like you don't have to, right? Maybe it was this special chiv on the first night, but certainly on the next day you don't have to, and on other days of Yontif, it sounds like there's no chiv. Maybe you're even allowed to fast, but it sounds like there's, even if you're not able to fast, because like you'll be obviously eating these fruits or stuff, it sounds like there's no chiyuv to have a bread meal. So there seems to be a steer between the Gemara and Brachos and our Gemara. Gemara and Brachos implies you have to have a bread meal, that's why you go back and benching. If you miss it, you only go back on meals that you had to have. So it sounds like the Gemara and Brachos that you have a chiyuv to have a bread meal on Yontif, whereas our Gemara implies that you don't have a chiyuv to have a bread meal on Yontif. So which one is it? Which one is true? La halacha. So there, it seems to be a steer. So there's, I think, in my account, three basic approaches in the Rishonim how to answer this. The first one is, the base Yosef quotes out of the Rush, but it's also Tosos and Brachos, and really most Rishonim understand the following. That, indeed, your putter, as our Gemara implies, midin sukkah, to eat bread the rest of the days, or on that first day. However, midin simchas yontif, your chayiv. So there's no contradiction. Meaning to say, our Gemara was only discussing the chayiv mitzad, the sukkah. You don't have a chiyuv because of sukkah to eat the sukkah. Like, you don't have, let me clarify, for the din of yeshiva sukkah, you don't have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah, except on that first night. But, if you're going to have a meal, obviously you'd have to have it in the sukkah, but it's not because of the sukkah. You have to have a bread meal separately because of Simchas Yontif. So there's no steer at all. The meal's a chiyuv, just not because of sukkah. The meal's a chiyuv because of Simchas Yontif. That's the standard approach in the region. Yeah. Well, the Shulchan Aruch over here, you're saying, implies a little bit that you don't have to, because you go to the language. Right, so in terms of Simchas Yontif, I'm pretty sure that he paskins there that you're actually chayav. Yeah, so the Rush is who the Beis Yosef particularly quotes. But it's a lot of Rishon. That's the, I think, normative opinion. Right. So that's the standard approach. And again, it's who the Beis Yosef quoted. But Tosfos and Sukkah on our daf, right, doesn't have that approach. And the Taz quoted as the Oriz Ruah and the Smag. And they give a different answer to explain the steer. They say that there's no chiyuv. In fact, there is, as our Gemara implies, the Gemara in Sukkah is really the one that's right. There is no chiyuv to have a bread meal on Yontif. So now, what was that Gemara talking about? What was the Gemara in Brachos, which implied that you do have a chiyuv to go back and mention, right, if you miss it, so you have a chiyuv to have a bread meal on Yontif? That's only talking about two Yom Tovim, and specifically two specific meals on Yom Tovim. First night of Sukkot, and first night of Pesach. The two times where you're chayv to have a bread meal. It didn't mean all of Yontif. It's a little bit lavdafka, obviously. And maybe that's why the other Rishonim didn't like this answer so much. But they preferred than having the thing, oh, really, you are chayv, even though Argamar sounds like you're not. It just mitzad the Yontif. So, answer number one is, you're really chayv mitzad Yontif, and Argamar just meant mitzad Sukkah. Answer number two, again, like that's Tosfos on our daf, is that no, you're really not chayav. And when that Gemara, like on, let's say on, I don't know, Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos, no chayav to have a bread meal. No chayav to have a bread meal. Just on the first night and first night of Pesach and Sukkot, respectively. A third answer, though, which is the one reason why I wanted to bring it in, it's a fascinating, fascinating answer, is that of the Balam Or. It's quoted also in the Rivav, which was his nephew. We have the Shitas Rivav around the side on the Rif and the Mesach Sukkah, right? So both of them say something crazy. They say that, indeed, both Gemaras are right. They're the least Lav Dafka out of all of them. The Gemara in Brachos, which says that you're Chayiv on Simcha, to eat a meal on Yontif. Okay, that's true. You have a Chayiv to have a bread meal on Yontif. And what about the Gemara in Sukkah? Indeed, you'd be potter if it wasn't for the special Chayiv on Sukkot to have a bread meal. No Chayiv to have a bread meal at all. And just except on the first night where there's a special connection. How do you explain the steer then? Because that Gemara, our Gemara here in Sukkot, is only talking about Sukkot. Because on Sukkot, unlike every other Yontif, the Chiyuv is relaxed. Something we've already discussed. Because of Teishvu Kein to Duru. The Baal Mor says, because of Teishvu Kein to Duru, there's no rigidity. Right? Obviously, the opinion of Rabbi Lezer is different. But the Chama holds that, no, you can do whatever you want. That's how the Gemara begins, right? You can do whatever you want. Eat whatever you want. You don't have to live like you live on your own. Do you have a, I don't know, here in Yeshiva, right? You have a set meal schedule. You don't really have a choice, but you don't have to eat it. But you have a set times and amounts and whatever they serve. But like in your home, you can do whatever you want. If you want to eat, you can eat. You don't want to eat, you don't have to eat. You want to eat a lot, you can eat a lot. You want to eat a little, you can eat a little. So, on Sukkot, uniquely, unlike every other Yontif, there's a special tour that you don't have to have a bread meal. Except on the first night where there's that special chiyuv. The Baal Mor's answer is very simple then. The Gemara in Brachos is correct. You have a chiyuv to have a bread meal on Yontif for some class Yontif. Except on Sukkot, where that's relaxed because of Teishvu Kein to Duru. A fascinating answer. Not how we paskin. Halach l'maisa, we do paskin, at least we're very, very machmir, to have a bread meal, if possible, on Yontif. So, that's just a side point I wanted to raise once Tosfos on our daf raised it, and that Baal Mor is fascinating, and that hopefully ties into a lot of other things we've been discussing. Now, let's discuss this chiyuv. Right? So the Gemara tells us that we have a chiyuv to eat on the Sukkah on the first night. It doesn't really go much more into it, at least not in the Bavli. Right? That's just pretty much what it says. It says the Gemara says, okay, so why do you have a chiyuv on the eat on the first night? It brings the Tes Vav, Gzeir Shava, and learns out that there's a chiyuv. Now, there's a very important question, though, which comes out, and we'll read the Torah inside, actually, just so you see his language, which really is a very, very important nafka mina lahalacha, and let's see what the actual conclusion is. So the way the Torah writes this is by posing a question. I mean, it's an unspoken question a little bit, but it's essentially posing a question. It says, wait a second. What is the chiyuv, guys? You tell me. What's the chiyuv of achilas keva in the sukkah? What's the chiyuv of achilas keva? Ben Arsh's shir, number the third chabur we've had so far. What's the chiyuv of eating in the sukkah? What's achilas keva? A kibetza
plus.
Exactly. Well, we pass from the kibetza a little bit more than a kibetza. Kibetza itself, ben tzulchum kibetza is still achilas arai, but more than a kibetza is achilas keva. Could be more machmer for different opinions, but that's the basic maskana. Okay, so why then for this chiyuv shouldn't I need a kibetza? In fact, you would probably think I do, and in fact, some rishonim do think you do need a kibetza. We'll get to that analysis in a moment, right? But you might think very, very logically that I should have a chiyuv to eat on the sukkah on the first night. How would I do so? I would do it with the regular shear of eating in the sukkah, which is a kibetza of oat. Okay, that's what I would have thought. However, the Torah is not going to pass in that way. So the Torah starts off by posing the following. Once you've had a kizayis worth of dagon, of grain, food, of bread, so then you've already fulfilled this obligation. Now, even though generally, to eat outside the sukkah, it generally is only a kibetza, meaning to say, in the sukkah is a kibetza of ode. At which point, what's this kizayis doing? You haven't fulfilled any living in the sukkah. Shani Lel Rishon Shehu Chova Tfei. The first night is different because it's more of an obligation. So now, even if you don't want to eat a kizayis, all you want to eat is just a little bit, you just want to have a small amount. You want to just have a kizayis, which generally wouldn't be mechayv in sukkah. So, it's usher to eat it outside. Once it's usher to eat it outside, Hilchach Yotzei Bo Nami Yidei Chovas Sukkah. Once it's usher on the first night to eat this outside of the sukkah, then you're allowed to fulfill your obligation inside. Which is a very strange formulation. The Beis Yosef is very annoyed by this. Leaving Megam Gimba, right? He's been confused as to what the Torah wants. Let's see what the simple shot from the Gemara is. And in fact, I was myself a little bit astounded to see how many people defend the Torah and take up the Torah lahalacha. Because the simple shot in the Gemara, I would have thought, there's a chiyuv on the first night of Sukkot. Why? learned from Pesach. What does that mean? It means I have a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah on the first night. How much? It depends maybe how strongly you want to take this comparison to sukkah. To Pesach, I'm sorry. Right? We saw the Ramah, right, took it very, very strongly, right? In every way, right? We're going to get to this analysis in a moment. But it seems like if you would look at it simply, I have a chiyuv of a kezias. Or maybe if you don't want to say it's a kezias, then fine, maybe it could be a kibetza, because like the chiyuv on tonight would be the shear of living in the sukkah. I want to be a kibetza. Okay, but what would I have thought? I would have thought that it's merely an obligation to eat this much. Meaning to say, on this night I have a mitzvah. And the same way I have a mitzvah to shake a lulav on the next day, I have a mitzvah to do something, so I have a mitzvah on this night to eat in the sukkah a kezayah. Or a kibetza, I don't really care about a kibetza for a moment, right? I have a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. Does that mean that the chiyuv has changed overall the other dina of sukkahs? I would imagine not. I have a mitzvah to go and eat this much in the sukkah. I would not think that, therefore, I'm not allowed to eat a kezias outside of the sukkah on the first night. Like, why would you think that? It's just a mitzvah. I have a chiyuv to do this. And then, you know what? If I fulfill my chiyuv, I eat a kezias inside the sukkah, and then I walk out, and I want to eat another kezias outside, I'm allowed to. And even beforehand, maybe I'm allowed to, because what's the harm? I'm allowed to always eat less than a kibetz of oat out of the sukkah. So why am I chayv to do more? In fact, the Shulchan Aruch therefore paskins against the Torah. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins, on the first night, you're allowed to still have a kezias. You can still have a kibetz outside of the sukkah. You just can't have a kibetz of oat outside of the sukkah. However, separately, you have a mitzvah. And that's a mitzvah to have a kezias of dagon inside of the sukkah. You understand? Right? According to the Shulchan Aruch, it seems very simple what the Gemara's conclusion was, and in fact, it's a little bit hard to understand the Torah. So now here's where you would move over a little bit. Maybe you would think that, okay, no. Really, the obligation is now that I have a chiyuv to eat a kezias in the sukkah. And once the Torah told me that I have a chiyuv to eat the kezias in the sukkah, you can say one of two things. Either like that has now been defined as keva, the Torah is basically telling you this is now considered keva. For this night, this is already considered keva. That's a little bit of a strange way to put it. But rather, you could say that, no, once the Torah said this is considered chashuv, this is already an important thing that what you're doing, it can fulfill the mitzvah. So now, it's gained in significance, which is what makes it keva. Like going back to that first explanation, it's really saying the same thing, that by giving it significance, it's able to fulfill a mitzvah, now it's considered keva, and then memela, I'm not allowed to eat it outside of the sukkah. You understand? Mm-hmm. That it's since the Torah said that I have a chiyuv to eat a kezias, so like now kezias are very chashuv on this night. And therefore, I'm not allowed to eat them outside of the sukkah. And maybe that would be an understanding of how you would therefore think that I'm not allowed to eat a kezias outside of the sukkah on the first night of the sukkah. And that would be a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and anybody who might hold this. The Torah certainly sounds like he thinks it's usher, the Torah certainly sounds like he thinks it's usher to eat a kezias outside of the sukkah. And the Bach agrees with him, and the Taz agrees with him, and they attack the Beis Yosef. And, in fact, the Prevei Gadim defends him also, and they all think he's working off the Yerushalmi. We'll see the Yerushalmi in a second. It doesn't really sound like what the Yerushalmi was saying. But the Torah, in fact, is even weirder than how I just presented it. Right? Option number one is the Shulchan Aruch. You have a mitzvah to eat a kezias inside of the sukkah. That does not change the general chiyuv on tonight in terms of how much I'm allowed to eat in or out of the sukkah. That's the Shulchan Aruch. That seems pretty posh. Then we have maybe a more lumdish type of understanding that, oh, since on the first night I'm able to fulfill the mitzvah on the first night with this kezias, therefore kezias are therefore chashuv and are considered keva, and now I can't eat outside of the sukkah. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah and the Prima Gadim believe that if you have a kezias before you fulfill the mitzvah, then it's aser, if you have it outside of the sukkah. But if you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, then it goes back to the regular rules. You understand? That they hold before you fulfill the obligation, there's a special chashivish to kezias. But after you fulfill the obligation, there no longer is that special chashivish to kezias, and like you can eat it again outside the sukkah. So they have that's the Mishnah Berurah off the Prima Gadim, and they have like sort of this middle ground case. The Aruch HaShulchan does not hold to that. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks the whole night is a problem, right? Because tonight it's a chiyuv to have a kezias, and memela, once it's a chiyuv, that makes it keva, it's chashuv, and the whole night now you can't. The rules of the first night are different. Okay. But the Torah didn't say that. I was speaking to Yosef. Did they know about this yesterday? I'm sorry?
Sorry, who's the opinion who says that? It's the whole night?
The Aruch HaShulchan.
Aruch HaShulchan.
Yeah. So, the I mean, the pashtus of the Bach and the Taz is that way too. I mean, they don't distinguish. The Prima Gadim and Schiddish, and Mr. Brewer brings the halacha, right? But it's the pashtus is of that opinion is that, like, no, it's the whole night. They don't distinguish between different parts of the night. Okay? So now, the Torah didn't say that, though. The Torah was even weirder. The Torah says, since you're not allowed to eat a kezias outside of the sukkah on the first night, so then you're obviously able to fulfill the mitzvah of a kezias on the first night. Basically saying, it's keva first. It's already considered keva on the first night that I can't eat it outside of my sukkah, and therefore I'm able to fulfill my mitzvah in the sukkah that night. It's a very, very weird formulation. I'll be honest, I thought long and hard about it. I discussed it with my Rebbe as well. I don't have a good answer to explain why the Torah said it this way. And it seems just imprecise. Now, I understand that some of their Nosei Kelim are trying to explain that he's coming off of the language in the Yerushalmi, but La'ani Asdati, it really does not sound at all like the Yerushalmi saying. I really think that just the Shulchan Aruch just seems right here. However, I'm willing to entertain that even if the Beis Yosef's right in reading the Yerushalmi, you could still have the Mishnah Berurah or the Aruch HaShulchan's middle ground read of that, yeah, but once it's important on this night, that gives it keva and, like, work from the fact that since I could fulfill my chiyuv, now it's usher to have it outside. But the Torah is really very difficult. Where in the Gemara, where in the Yerushalmi do you see that, oh, since it's usher to have it outside of my sukkah, that's what the chiyuv is. It's usher to eat kazais outside of my sukkah, then memeila me, but if I fill in my sukkah. I do not have a good answer for that. I'll tell you the truth. I do not have a good answer. If you want an answer, I'll tell you an answer I made up. But it's not a good answer. And I don't have a good answer. Okay? Sometimes you have to throw up your hands and say, I don't have a good answer. I was thinking perhaps you could say the following. Ben Arsh did not think that this was a good shot. I personally don't think it's such a good shot either. But maybe it's a key. Maybe you guys, I'll give you guys food for thought. And you can come up with a better answer to defend the Torah. I worked long and hard. I could not find any defense of the Torah. I saw some people who said the Torah is obviously right. It didn't really harp on this point. I saw people who said the Torah is obviously wrong, like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but, like, nobody tries to explain. Obviously, the Torah's language is super weird. How can we explain him? And then Joey's right. So here's a suggestion. Here's the best I got. Perhaps the chiyuv on the first night of Pesach is not to eat matzah. I know there's a chiyuv to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, but the goal is not to eat matzah. As we know, what's the chiyuv on the next 6 days? Any of you have a Gemara sukkah here? Can I have a sukkah for a second? All right, here's a sukkah. I got one. Okay. Rashi quotes, what's the chiyuv of eating matzah on Pesach? Right? You guys remember off the drush, it's actually is in this week's parsha, right? We have the whole intense limud back and forth, because the pasuk basically tells us in one place to eat matzah on the first night, then it tells you to eat it all 7 days, and it tells you only on the first 6 days, but not on the 7th day. So there's a complicated drusha. Lemaisa, what comes out of the drusha, is that the other 6 days of sukkahs, other than the first night, are all a heter. If you want to eat bread, don't eat chametz, eat matzah. And perhaps you can say, and there are those that do say this and take it up in a different form than I'm about to take it, but stronger, theirs is much better than what I'm saying. You'll see why in a minute. Is that perhaps the whole goal of eating matzah isn't per se to eat the matzah as much as it's to nullify the chametz even further. You're driving the chametz into the ground. What's the maximum way of destroying chametz? Is not only do you get rid of it, but now you eat the thing which is the essence of not chametz. It's everything that could have been chametz and isn't chametz. That is doing the mitzvah of tishbosu, of nullifying the chametz on a maximal level. You understand? That's a pretty accepted psha in Pesach. Like that you'll learn Pesach and Mir Tashem, it makes a lot of sense. Okay, there's basis to say that. I want to extend it a little bit further. I want to say that the chiv on the first night, therefore, is not per se to eat the matzah, as much as it's to really start off the holiday right by nailing the chametz into the ground. The rest of the holiday, okay, just don't eat chametz. If you want to have bread, you can have matzah. But the first night, do not eat chametz. How much are you supposed to not eat chametz? By eating matzah, you have to do it on tonight. You have to nullify the chametz on this night. If that really is the chiyuv on the leil tesvav of Pesach, perhaps the same chiyuv is really true when the Gemara does leil tesvav, what's it connecting? Not the chiyuv to eat. The chiyuv to undermine something else. Meaning to say, by Pesach, the goal is to undermine chametz, nullify chametz. By sukkahs, what is it? Not to be koveya your sukkah as a dira, per se, as much as it is to really undermine your home. At which point, the chiyuv on the first night would be, don't you dare eat outside of your sukkah tonight, because that would be not undermining your home. And the meal, once you're not supposed to eat outside of your sukkah, so then you do have a chiyuv to eat in your sukkah to help accentuate that point. But the goal of eating in the sukkah on the first night is not, per se, to eat in the sukkah as much as it is to eat in the sukkah by not eating in your home. And therefore, the Torah's language would be correct in that because of the fact that I'm not allowed to eat outside of the sukkah, i.e. in your home, you have a chiyuv, and you're able to fill that chiyuv with that same shear in the sukkah. It's a suggestion. Again, I don't really like it. Rabbi Narson didn't really like it. I'd rather leave the Torah in its tzara. Okay, lemaisa. Let's passing this shot. Right, we have these two different options on the first night of sukkahs. Am I allowed to eat a kezias outside of the sukkah? We've displayed three different options. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramaz, quiet here in the Dark Moshe, it's also quiet in the stomach, agreeing with the Shulchan Aruch. Of course you can have a kezias outside the sukkah. The shear is a kibitz of ode. That's considered a keva. So of course you can have a kezias outside of the sukkah on the first night. Why not? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. He doesn't exactly say it. He ignores the Torah's formulation, and he just writes what he says. And then he shows what we know, right? He does not hold to the Torah's. So la halacha, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you are definitely allowed to have a kezias outside of the sukkah on the first night. However, many achronim disagree, and it seems to be the majority opinion. Right? Like I said, the Bach and the Taz attack him, the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berura have a middle ground approach, which we'll get back to in a second. But the strong way of reading it, the Taz and Tor and and the Bach, and like I said, the Aruch HaShulchan beforehand, say that, no, there's an isser to eat a kezias outside of the sukkah on the first night. Why? Mistama, because it's Keva on this night. Why is it Keva? Since it's Chashev to fulfill the mitzvah tonight. So Mamela, it's Chashev in all regards. It's a significant eating. We have that in other contexts in Halacha. And therefore, I'm not allowed to have a Kezias outside the Sukkah on the first night. Okay? Well, the Mishnah Berura and the Prima Gadim have a middle ground, and this is how we pass in the Halacha. That before you fulfill your mitzvah, before you fulfill that Kezias inside of the Sukkah, pass Dagon Besukkah, on the first night, it's usher to have a kezias outside of the sukkah. Because at that moment, that kezias is still significant. Not fundamentally, not this whole night, but right now it's able to fulfill the mitzvah. Therefore, by not having the sukkah, you did a kevatika act outside the sukkah and you ruined it. Once you fulfill the obligation, the Mishnah Berurah, the Prima Gadim Paskin, then, once you fulfilled your obligation, then you could have a kezias outside. So there's a split, and that's how we Paskin li halacha. Okay. Let's turn to...
Sorry, which one do you Paskin?
Like the Mishnah Berurah. It's not Pasha, because it's like a Kiddush of the Prima Gadims, but that's what Rabbeinu Shtolmei, he thinks. So, we pass me like that. It's my Misora. Okay, good. Let's turn to another issue. Let's analyze this Chiyuv on the first night, okay? And this will tie into all the Rama. When we say there's a Chiyuv on the first night, which one is it? Is it the following? Is it saying that there's a Chiyuv Achila, just like by Pesach? It's not a din that you have to do the mitzvah of Sukkot on this first night, as much as you have to eat on the first night. Just as I do by Pesach, I have to eat. It's not like anything other than that. It's a chiyuv to eat. Not necessarily even in the sukkah. Now, obviously, you have to eat it on the sukkah on this night because it's a very chashuv. It's a chiyuv. It's a mitzvah. You have to do it in the sukkah. It's an eating pas dagon. But the real chiyuv is a chiyuv in the achila. Just to eat. Just like by Pesach. Or is it a chiyuv yeshiva? Then on the first night, I have to, in the same way by Pesach, I start off my mitzvah, right? The mitzvah sayom is the matzah. So also the mitzvah sayom on sukkahs is the sukkah. So I have to do the yeshiva correctly on that first night. Right? A simple chakir. Everybody understands the two sides? One side is that it's a chiyuv achila, exactly parallel to Pesach. Memela, it has to be done in the sukkah. But the real goal is just to eat. And we're going to see there's kama v'kama nafkaminos here. This, right? This is replete with nafkaminos. Right? Is it a chiyuv to actually eat? Or is it merely to do the yeshiva properly on the first night? And like, it's a chov on the first night. The other nights, you know, other days are all like, you know, a kiyah mitzvah, but not a chiyuv. On the first night, it's a chiyuv to do the yeshiva properly. So which one of them is it? What might be some nafkamina? The Rav brought a bunch. The other people bring really tons, right? Tosos brought in the Yerushalmi. Remember, the Yerushalmi had a suffix. The Yerushalmi had a suffix whether or not on the first night, this chiyuv must be done with dagon, right? Must be done with grain. Why would you think yes? Well, if it's a chiyuv achila, which is exactly parallel to that one by Pesach, it should have to be exactly like Pesach, and it has to be done with dagon. If it's a chiyuv in the yeshiva, it should be what? Anything which requires a yeshiva, but sukkah. Now, maybe I can't do it with peiros if we don't hold that peiros requires sukkah. But meaning targima, for example, right? Meaning targima, pashas, the way we paskin, right? Meaning targima is the chayv in a sukkah. At which point, maybe I could fulfill the obligation with meaning targima. So if it's a chiyuv achila, then I could fulfill it only with dagon. If it's a chiyuv yeshiva, maybe I can even fill it with meaning tergima. Another nafkamina. Right? Now with mistama, the basis of the Yerushalmi's suffix. Another example. Te'avon, right? Am I allowed to eat past chatzos on Erev Sukkot? If it's a chiyuv achila, what is the mitzvah? The eating itself. At which point, parallel to Pesach, the eating itself has to be done with te'avon. So comparably over here, the eating itself has to be done with te'avon. And you're not allowed to eat past chatzos by sukkah either. On the flip side, if it's din the yeshiva, what do you mean? The eating is the way I do the yeshiva, but really, the chiv is in the yeshiva. It's not like I need to be happy about the achila per se. It's not a din the achila. So, therefore, there should be no din of teyavon. And again, these could be the two sides of the Yerushalmi Safik. Another potential one would be the shir. What would be the shir? If it's achila, it should be off of Pesach and it should be a gezayis. If it's a din in the yeshiva, it should be a kibetz of oat, as we said, some rishonim indeed hold. How do we paskin off of all these? What would you say? What does the Ramah sound like he's paskining? Exactly, because everything is exactly parallel to Pesach. It's a kezayis. We see even the Shulchan Aruch said that it's a kezayis. Okay, now the kezayis might not be an exact shear because, like I said beforehand, kezayis might be once it's a mitzvah, now it's already considered kept. So it might not be a great example. But the other nafkamins are very good. Dagon and teyavon, right? It has to be pas dagon, and it has to be done with teyavon. Those are seemingly on the side of the chiv achila. Now you could say it's only a suffik, and we're going lechumra. Okay, that could also be valid, but still, we're going lechumra to assume it's a chiv achila. Now, to point out one side thing about teyavon, it's a little bit strange. The Mishnah Berurah, sorry, not the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch says, from Chatzos, and, sorry, not the Mishnah Berurah. One more time. The Ramah. There we go. That's the right name. The Ramah says, quoting from the Ma'ariel, right, it's from Chatzos and onwards. On Erev Sukkot, you're not allowed to eat. But guys, is that the halacha by Pesach? It's not the halacha by Pesach. The Ma'ariel, the Shitaso, holds that's the halacha by Pesach. That it's from Chatzos and onwards. But we don't bask like the Ma'ariel. We say on Pesach, when are you not allowed to have a real meal? From the 10th hour and onwards, right? 4 hours past Chatzos. From, 4 hours. The 10th hour, right? The beginning of the 10th hour. So it's 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8. Yeah, okay, 4 hours. Yeah, good. Okay, fine, there we go. So, it's actually not true, the halacha then. So how do we understand this, Ramah? What's the halacha now? If we're going to be machmir like the Ramah is saying, we have to count it as achiv achila, and you're not allowed to eat after chatzos, a real bread meal, afterwards. So what's the halacha? It's after chatzos or after 10th hour. So the halacha, it's really after the 10th hour. That's all the achronim are asking when they say against this Ramah's mashmos. The Aruch HaShulchan defends it off of the Magen Avraham suggestion. Maybe there's a distinction. By Pesach, why are we more makel than we are by Sukkah, if the whole limud is from Pesach? He says, perhaps because there I'm not able to eat bread. There's no bread to eat. As opposed to here, I could eat a whole bread meal, and I could really fill myself up. So we're already machmir not to let you eat from Chatzos and onwards a real serious meal by Sukkot. Okay, it's a suggestion about halacha. We paskin that when we have this din of teyavon, you're not supposed to have a big meal after the 10th hour, not after the 6th. Yeah.
So wasn't the point he was making that on Pesach, since you're eating matzah, so you, even if you're more full because you had a meal more recently, you'll eat more because it's not is very light as opposed to bread, which is...
I understood that as a bread meal versus not. You're not eating matzah anyhow on the Erev Pesach because you're supposed to not have matzah for a while.
But when you get to that night...
No, so I didn't think so. I thought that he was saying instead that since you could have bread, you can have a real meal on Erev Sukkot, so therefore you can fill yourself up more seriously, and therefore we have to extend the time longer from Chatzos and onwards, not from the 10th hour and onwards. Okay? So that's how we pass on halacha in terms of that. Okay, we got a few brief moments left, so let's try to spell out a couple of more nafkminas that chakira. Right, another nafkmina might be, is it only until Chatzos halayla? Right, are you only able to eat the chiyav? Are you able to fulfill this chiyav of this kezayis up until Chatzos or even beyond Chatzos? So, if it's a chiyav achila, learn from Pesach. So exactly, it should only be until Chatzos. And in fact, that's the halacha. However, you should know that's only lechatchila. By Pesach too, you're allowed to eat it b'dieved after Chatzos, although we strive very hard to eat it before Chatzos. So, lechatchila, you have to eat it before Chatzos, this achila on the first night of Sukkot. However, b'dieved after Chatzos, you are able to have it. Now, another nafkamina of this chakira might have been, must all kezesim be inside of the Sukkah? And you could have tried to put the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah on the side of saying Zachiyah Vachila, but the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't align then, because the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, you have to do it in the Sukkah, even just the Kezias outside. So he sort of seems to be not holding of this Chakira, but nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah could still be fitting with it. That really, you have to eat all Kezesim inside of the Sukkah on the first night until the Chiyah is fulfilled. Now, we're running out of time. A lot of nothingness for this. Another one important example is Kavana. For the achila, you have to have kavana when you have the achila. So many think that you do have to have kavana for the mitzvah, like that. So what exactly would the kavana be to have? I didn't take it out. The Mishnah Berurah. I can show you after exactly. But the goal is to have awareness of why you're eating this. That the nature of the chiyuv is to remember the mitzvah and what Hashem has done for us. And you have to have kavana as you do the mitzvah more than just stop eating it. A lot of other nafkminas, potentially. they say that you should have another kezias again. So specifically by Sukkot, at least. Then it might be ma'akiv. So now there's other things also, like you can't eat it with other foods, because if you eat it with other foods, it'll be mevatel the taste. That's a din that we find by matzah. That you'll be maybe you can't have, it's a chumrah. People have matzah, you can't have matzah shira. So you can't have egg challah either, right? So maybe you should dafka have plain challah. But that's a chumrah of malach. You don't have to be too worried about it. You can go for it if you want to. So let me just spell out. Ideally, if you wanted to be machmer for all the chumrahs, what would you do on the first night of Pesach to eat this kezias? I'll spell it out, and then I'll spell out the bidyevet, and with that we'll conclude. Okay? So overall, on the first night, ideally, you should eat a kebetza to be machmer for those rishonim who say that you need a betza on the first night, based off the din in the yeshiva. To be chodesh for the ran. However, bidyevet, it's okay if it was just a kezias. Next, how fast should you eat it? You should eat it b'tei achilas pras, just as we find by matzah. It should be plain bread, if possible, right? Not challah ashira, if you will. But bidyevet, it's certainly okay if you don't have that. That's just the chumrah. It should definitely be pas, not pas above a kisnin. It's a whole machlokas, whether it should be pas above a, whether pas above a kisnin counts in this. Because in one sense, it's pas, but maybe it's not ideal for this. So you should aim to have real pas. Although bidyevet, you, as long as it's from dagon, I don't think we pas in bidyevet that you can get away with meaning targima. It's too strong against that. But even dagon, bidyevet can work. Any type of dagon, like pas above kisnin. Okay, you should do so after nightfall, after it's vaday nightfall. There's a dion about whether you could do kiddush before in the Mishnah, the Mishnah of Rum. We should discuss it, but the Maisa, it's not really relevant. So you should do it after nightfall, after vaday nightfall, but before chatzos. Bidyevet, you're allowed to do it after chatzos. And you should do it without eating the pas, without eating pas from chatzos on Erev Pesach and onwards. Bidyevet, you can go from the 10th hour. But if you want to be machmir for the mashmos of the Ramah, so you can go from the chatzos, but certainly it's not such a strong reason to do all the Chronim or Maskim, that's really from the 10th hour and onwards, that you should so to have the teavon, and you should have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah. You should try not to eat it with other foods at the same time. You know, just have that kezias, eat it quickly and properly. Also, ideally, you should not have kezasim outside of the sukkah. We've already passed on this, right? You shouldn't have kezasim outside of the sukkah on the first night until you fulfill the chiyuv. And then separately, about if you're mitztayer, that's going to be, I saved the mitztayer stuff really for sifhei, which we'll get to next week in Mir Hashem. But if you're mitztayer, so you should do kezias and kiddush inside of the sukkah, then go inside. And if it stops, the tzar stops for whatever reason, then you go back outside and you have a new kezias. We'll talk about that much more in depth in the next Chabura Mir Tzushem.